Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our analyst call for RTL Group's full year results 2022. The speaker for today's presentation are Thomas Rabe, the Group CEO, Elmar Heggen, our Deputy CEO and COO, and Björn Bauer, our CFO. The presentation for this call is available on our corporate website, rtl.com, following the link included in our press release under Download. The agenda on slide two shows the areas our management team will cover today. With this, I now hand over to Thomas.
Yeah. Thank you, Oliver, and good morning from me as well. In addition to our full year results 2022 and the outlook for 2023, we'll give you an update on our strategy and growth plans. After that, we're happy to take your questions. Let's start on slide four and the highlights. 2022 was a strong year for RTL Group, despite numerous external challenges. Our families of TV channels in Germany, France, and the Netherlands continued to generate high operating profits, as did our global content business, Fremantle, which achieved its highest ever adjusted EBITDA. RTL Group's growth businesses, streaming and content, progressed significantly in 2022. By the end of 2022, we had a total of 5.5 million paying subscribers for RTL+ in Germany and Hungary, plus Videoland in the Netherlands, meaning that our subscriber base grew by 44% year-on-year. In summer 2021, we announced that we will accelerate the expansion of Fremantle, both organically and via M&A, targeting full year revenue of 3 billion euro by 2025. We have made a big step towards this goal in 2022. Revenue from our global content business grew by 22% to over 2.3 billion euro. In total, Fremantle completed eight acquisitions and step-ups, all in major territories and across all genres. To compete with the global streaming services, we remain convinced that market consolidation is necessary and that it will happen in the European TV market sooner or later. Although our larger consolidation moves were blocked by the regulators, we continue to work on scaling up our TV and streaming businesses via small acquisitions, alliances, and partnerships. I will come back to this later. The strong results enable us to pay once again an attractive dividend of 4 euro per share to our shareholders. I'll now hand you over to Björn, who will take you through the group's financial results in more detail.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas. Good morning, everyone. In my presentation on the financial results, I will focus on two key points. First, our solid financial performance despite challenging TV advertising markets since March 2022. Second, how active portfolio management and our investment in streaming and Fremantle impacted our income statement and cash flow statement for the financial year 2022. Let's start with a closer look at our key financials on slide six. In 2022, RTL Group's revenue increased by 8.8% to a record level of 7.2 billion, exceeding 7 billion for the first time in the group's history. Revenue growth was driven by scope effects at RTL Deutschland and higher revenue from Fremantle and RTL Nederland. Due to the strong performance of Fremantle and RTL Nederland, group revenue was up by 1.6% organically, and this despite lower TV advertising revenue from our two largest broadcasting operations in Germany and France, which demonstrates the resilience and diversification of our portfolio. Our full year adjusted EBITA decreased by 6% to 1,083 million. This was mainly due to higher streaming startup losses, which increased from 166 million euro in 2021 to 233 million euro in 2022. When you look at our underlying profitability before streaming, our adjusted EBITA before streaming startup losses remained stable on the same record level as last year. Group profit was 766 million euro after reaching the extraordinary record level of 1.45 billion euro in 2021, which was significantly impacted by the capital gain from the sale of SpotX. Let's continue on slide seven. Here you see the development of RTL Group's total and TV advertising revenue on a quarterly basis. RTL Group started dynamically into 2022, with group revenue and TV advertising revenue both up by 11% compared to the first quarter of 2021. This is important context when we speak about the outlook for the full year of 2023. Since March, the European TV advertising market softened, resulting in a 3% decrease of RTL Group's TV advertising revenue in the second quarter and a decrease of 10% in both Q3 and Q4. In total, our TV advertising revenue was down by 4% for the full year 2022, but still approximately in line with the pre-COVID level from the year 2019. In 2022, the overall decrease in TV advertising revenue was more than offset by the strong performances from Fremantle and RTL Nederland, scope effects, and positive FX effects. As a result, RTL Group's total revenue was up in every quarter of 2022. Moving on to slide 8, that puts our operating profit in a longer-term perspective. When you look at our underlying profitability, with significantly higher streaming startup losses, our adjusted EBITDA before streaming startup losses was 1,316 million euro on prior year's record level. As we said before, 2022 was the peak year in terms of streaming startup losses. The adjusted EBITDA margin before streaming startup losses was 18.9%. One of the main reasons for the margin decrease was the first-time full-year consolidation of Kronania publishing business, which was impacted by lower print advertising revenue and significantly higher costs for energy and paper. In addition, Fremantle gained a higher share in the RTL Group business mix. Moving on to slide 9. And now let's have a look at the items below EBITDA down to group profit. In April 2021, RTL Group sold its interest in SpotX to the US ad tech company Magnite. In the accounts for the financial year 2021, the capital gain from the disposal of SpotX was a key driver for last year's record group profit. With Magnite's share price decreasing in 2022, the effect from the remeasurement of the 12.37 million Magnite shares held by RTL Group was minus 67 million euro. This effect is reflected in the line fair value measurement of investments. In total, RTL Group recorded capital gains of 107 million euro in 2022, mainly relating to the disposal of RTL Belgium and RTL Croatia. The group's tax charge came in at 166 million euro. The significantly higher tax charge in 2021 was due to the taxable capital gain from the disposal of SpotX. The reported tax rate in 2022 of 18% was positively impacted by the recognition of deferred tax assets. Looking now at the next slide, the cash flow statement. Our operating free cash flow was 565 million euro, while the operating cash conversion rate was 54% in 2022. The lower operating cash conversion rate was due to investment in Fremantle and our streaming business, as well as timing differences and non-cash items positively impacting our adjusted EBITDA. We continued to actively manage our portfolio, and this is reflected in various lines of the cash flow statement. The line acquisition disposal of subsidiaries mainly reflects the cash received as part of the disposal of RTL Belgium and RTL Croatia, and the cash paid out for the Fremantle acquisitions, Luxvide, Element Pictures, 72 Films, and Wildstar Films. The cash received from the sale of VideoAmp is reflected in the line acquisition disposal of other investments, financial assets. The cash effect from the acquisition of Gruner & Jahr, net of cash acquired, is shown in the line acquisitions of companies under common control. Please keep in mind that 210 million euro for the acquisition of Gruner & Jahr assets were already paid at the end of 2021. The cash outflow for the step up of to 100% in Eureka, a Fremantle acquisition, is reflected in the line transactions with non-controlling interests. To summarize, with a lower operating free cash flow and most importantly the dividend payment, the net cash increased in 2022 by 29 million euro. At the end of December 2022, RTL continued to be in a net cash position of 180 million euro. On the next slide, I will go through the dividend proposal. Our dividend policy is based on the group's full-year profit attributable to RTL Group shareholders and adjusted for any material non-cash impact. And as you know, we target a payout ratio of at least 80%. In line with our dividend policy, our board has proposed a dividend of 4 euro per share for 2022, of which 3 euros and 50 cents represent the dividend of ordinary activities, while the remaining 50 cents relate to the disposals of RTL Belgium and RTL Croatia. The ordinary dividend is thus stable versus last year and demonstrates our intent for dividend continuity. The total proposed dividends of 4 euro per share for 2022 results in a dividend payout ratio of 94%. And based on the average share price for 2022, this translates into a dividend yield of 9.5%. For the business review, I will now hand over to Elmar.
Thank you, Björn, and good morning from my side as well. For the business review, I will start with RTL Deutschland on slide 13. In 2022, our largest unit, RTL Deutschland, continued the dynamic growth of its streaming service, RTL Plus. The number of paying subscribers was up 48% year-on-year to more than 4 million at the end of December. The strategic partnership with Deutsche Telekom's Magenta TV and the diverse range of programming on RTL Plus contributed significantly to the growth. In terms of audiences, RTL Deutschland reported a combined average audience share of 26.8% in the target group of viewers aged 14 to 59, which was up 4.5%. This means our German family of channels increased its lead over its main commercial competitor, ProSiebenSat.1, from 3.5 to 4.5 percentage points. Our main channel, RTL, remained the leading commercial channel in the target group 14 to 59, while Vox became third amongst the commercial channels in both the 14 to 59 and 14 to 49 age groups, overtaking Sat.1 for the first time on a full year basis. Looking now at the financials of RTL Deutschland in 2022. In the reporting period, the German net TV advertising market was estimated to be down between 8 and 9%, with RTL Deutschland performing in line with the market. Total revenue of RTL Deutschland was up 14.1% to 2.77 billion euro, driven by the acquisition of Gruner + Jahr and Super RTL, as well as the streaming service RTL Plus. Adjusted EBITDA was down 15.2% to 459 million euro, mainly due to higher streaming startup losses and lower TV advertising revenue. With a decreasing print advertising market and increased prices for energy and paper, the acquired publishing business from Gruner + Jahr did not contribute notably to RTL Deutschland's adjusted EBITDA in 2022. As a result, RTL Deutschland's adjusted EBITDA margin decreased to 17%. Thomas will provide more data on the reorganization of the German publishing business in the strategy update. Let's now move to Group M6 on the next slide. The French net TV advertising market was estimated to be down 2% compared to 2021. Total revenue of Group M6 was slightly down by 2.4% to 1.36 billion euro, mainly due to the decrease in advertising revenue. Accordingly, adjusted EBITDA decreased by 7.6% to 304 million euro. The adjusted EBITDA margin remained high at 22%. The audience of our French family of free-to-air channels in the commercial target group was 22.3%, slightly down by 0.5%. While the audience share of the main channel MCs was down in the commercial target group, our free-to-air channel scored their best audience performance ever in the most important primetime slot. Following the failed merger with TF1, MCs will invest significantly to accelerate the growth of its advertising-funded streaming service, Sisplay. Turning now to RTL Netherlands on slide 15. The Dutch net TV advertising market was estimated to be up by 8.7% in 2022. RTL Netherlands' total revenue increased by 10.6% to 636 million euro, driven by significantly higher TV advertising revenue and growing streaming revenue. This resulted in an adjusted EBITDA of 161 million euro, up 50%, 50, from 2021. The adjusted EBITDA margin increased from 19% to 25%. The combined Dutch family of channels delivered an audience share of 34.7%, up 0.5 percentage points year on year. This audience growth was again driven by the main channel RTL4, which scored high ratings with shows such as The Masked Singer, The Verraders, and Kopen Sonderkaken. The increase in audience share was also thanks to RTL4's current affairs programs in early primetime and the main evening news show. RTL Netherlands streaming service Videoland recorded paid subscriber growth of 12% compared to the end of December 2021. Turning now to our global content business, Fremantle. Fremantle reported record results for 2022. Revenue was up 22% to 2.35 billion thanks to scope effects from acquisitions in 2021 and 2022, positive foreign exchange rate effects, and organic revenue growth, which was at 7.8%. Accordingly, adjusted EBITDA was up 15% to 162 million euros. 1 year ago, Fremantle CEO Jennifer Mullen presented the boost plan for Fremantle to become a 3 billion euro company by 2025 to you. In 2022, Fremantle delivered over 100 scripted productions, including high-end series, daily dramas, and 17 films. As a result, Fremantle generated 35% of its total revenue in 2022 from drama and film productions, up from 23% in 2019. I will hand back to Thomas, who will take you through the strategy update before presenting the outlook.
Yeah, many thanks, Elmar and Björn. Let me turn to slide 18 and the strategic framework, which remains unchanged. It is based on three priorities: core, growth, and alliances and partnerships. Core means investing in premium content, strengthening our families of channels, as well as cost and portfolio management. Growth areas are our streaming services, advertising technology and addressable TV, as well as content production with Fremantle. And alliances and partnerships span from advertising sales and content production to technology and data. Moving on to slide 19. Over the past years, we have transformed the portfolio of RTL Group. We have divested a series of small and non-core assets with significant capital gains, boosted Fremantle, and built national streaming champions with RTL Plus and Videoland. Unfortunately, we did not succeed with two larger consolidation moves in France and the Netherlands. In both countries, the competition authorities did not take into account the speed and extent of the changes in the European media landscape and the impact of these changes on local media companies. Above all, we see these as missed opportunities for us and the European media industry. As already said, we remain convinced that market consolidation is necessary to compete with the global tech platforms, and thus we remain committed to scaling up our TV and streaming businesses. There are other ways to scale, not in one big step as initially contemplated, but a series of smaller steps, in particular small acquisitions, such as the full acquisition of Super RTL in Germany, and partnerships and alliances across the areas shown on the slide, and that is advertising, sales and technology, streaming distribution and technology, content creation and distribution, as well as data. An important development in the last years has been the increased demand from advertisers and agencies for global ad buying opportunities. To respond to this demand, we combined RTL Ad Connect, Grunandjahr IMS, and the media division of SmartClip to create RTL Ad Alliance, an international advertising sales champion. RTL Ad Alliance is the only European sales house that offers international cross-media campaigns. Its portfolio comprises RTL Group's TV channels, streaming services, radio stations, and digital publishing, complemented by the advertising inventory of high-quality partners such as ITV in the UK, Rai in Italy, or NBC Universal in the United States. Another example is advertising technology. Here we have created an ad tech platform based on the technology developed by SmartClip, which is used by most RTL companies and a series of third parties. And the third example in Germany is the distribution partnership with Deutsche Telekom, which has helped to accelerate the growth of RTL+. Moving on to slide 20. The current macroeconomic environment has put the publishing business under particular pressure, with decreasing advertising and circulation revenue and higher costs for energy and paper. To further strengthen RTL Deutschland's leading position and journalistic relevance, we thoroughly reviewed our publishing business and portfolio. Following the review, we decided to focus on core brands such as Stern, Geo, Capital, Brigitte, and Gala. They account for around 70% of RTL Deutschland's publishing revenue and circulation. All other brands and line extensions will be sold or discontinued. With the reorganization, costs will be reduced by 70 million euro in all areas, especially in corporate functions, IT, and facility management. By 2025, we'll invest around 80 million euro in the transformation of our strong publishing brands, primarily in paid digital content and services. Looking at the combination of RTL Deutschland's TV streaming and publishing businesses more generally, fair to say that they create significant value in the form of synergies of around 75 million euro per annum in areas such as content creation, advertising sales, tech and data, and corporate functions. Moving on to slide 21 with some more color on streaming, which remains a growth business for us and for which we have defined ambitious targets. With 5.5 million paying subscribers at the end of December 2022, our subscriber base grew by 44% year-on-year, mainly driven by RTL Plus in Germany. For the first time, we have included the number of paying subscribers from RTL Plus in Hungary. Streaming revenue grew by 20% to 267 million euro. As you can see on the slide, we increased our content spend by 45% to 304 million euro in 2022. This translates into streaming startup losses of 233 million euro. As mentioned by Björn, 2022 was a peak year in terms of streaming startup losses. For this year, we expect startup losses of just below 200 million euro, and I'll come back to this in a minute with the outlook statement. In Germany, we are gradually expanding our cross-media offer. In August 2022, Deutschland launched the RTL Plus music app. In addition to video content, RTL Plus users now have access to more than 90 million songs from Deezer, one of the world's leading music streaming services. More recently, we added podcasts to RTL Plus music, followed by a growing selection of audiobooks. Ultimately, we aim to bundle our entertainment offers in one multimedia app to provide to our customers a personalized, state-of-the-art experience. We plan to launch this multimedia app in the course of 2023. Overall, RTL is well on track to reach its ambitious streaming targets. By 2026, we plan to double our annual content spend to around 600 million euro in comparison to 2022. On this basis, we aim to grow the number of paying subscribers for RTL Plus and Videoland to 10 million, to increase our streaming revenue to 1 billion, and to reach profitability in 2026. Moving on to our global content business Fremantle on slide 22. In 2022, Fremantle completed 8 acquisitions and step-ups in all major territories across all genres, from the Italian high-quality fiction producer Lux Vide to the award-winning film and drama producer Element Pictures, and the documentary producer 72 Films and Wild Star Films. Working with world-class storytellers and partnering with international directors and actors such as Angelina Jolie, Edward Berger, Salma Hayek-Pinault, and Richard Brown is key to the success of Fremantle. In the last years, Fremantle has become an even stronger, more creative, more diverse global content powerhouse, both in terms of geographic footprint and output across entertainment, drama, and film, as well as documentaries. While continuing to look for acquisitions and partnerships, we'll now increasingly focus on the integration of the acquired companies in Fremantle and the Fremantle network and on lifting the margins. Finally, I will now take you through the group's outlook statement. The geopolitical and macroeconomic environment remains volatile, and the impact on RTL Group's businesses is hard to predict. As of today, we expect moderately decreasing TV advertising markets and continued strong growth in streaming and content. On this basis, we expect our full-year revenue to increase to between 7.3 and 7.4 billion euro in 2023, our adjusted EBITDA for 2023 to be between 1 billion and 1.05 billion euro, the streaming startup losses to be just below 200 million euro, and consequently, our adjusted EBITDA before streaming startup losses to be between 1.2 billion and 1.25 billion euro. As mentioned by Björn earlier, our dividend policy remains unchanged. That means that RTL Group plans to pay out at least 80% of the adjusted full-year net result. Based on our current projections, this would result in an ordinary dividend paid in 2024 and 2025, i.e., for the financial years 2023 and 2024, of approximately 3.50 euro per share, in line with the 2022 and 2021 level. This brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you for your attention, and we are now happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. We have the first question from Julien Roch from Barclays. Your question, please.
Yes, good morning. It's Julien Roch from Barclays. My first question is, could you give us some indication of Q1 ad trends by country? And when you say moderately declining TV market for full year 2023, is it for your three main countries, or is there a difference? That's my first question. The second one is, I couldn't find total viewing in Germany, which you were giving previously, so could you give that to us for 2022? It was 20,663 minutes total last year and 541 million for non-linear viewing. If we could have those two numbers, that's my second question. The third one is Fremantle revenues in 2023. You reiterated your target, but maybe some color on 2023, what's left of M&A contribution from last year, and organic. These are my three questions. Thank you.
Great. Let me start with Q1 advertising trends for three main territories, Germany, France, and the Netherlands. The German market is particularly weak. We see a decline in advertising coming from startups, but also from the small and medium-sized enterprises in Germany. Our current expectation is for advertising, the advertising market, TV advertising market in Q1 to be down by 15%-20%. The situation is better in France. Here we expect a slight decline, and it's even better in the Netherlands, where we expect slight growth in the first quarter. It's a pretty mixed picture. If you take the German TV advertising market and compare it with 2019, it's actually down by 30%. Frankly, there's no good reason for that. We believe there's a significant catch-up potential going forward. We expect the situation in Germany to improve in the course of the year. This is also the basis for our planning and phasing, if you like, of our internal budgets and so on. We expect Q1 to be weak, as I said, Q2 to be slightly better, also on the basis of slightly less onerous comparables as 2022, and then an improvement in the second half of the year. Modest decline, which is the word we used, means that we expect advertising to be broadly in line with what we saw in 2022, so down by -3% approximately, Björn.
Yeah. Last year the decline was -4%.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're saying low single-digit decline.
Yeah.
But kind of in that area.
Yeah.
To your other question, that decline is related to our overall portfolio, so the mix between all the key countries. The next question you had was on viewing time. When you look at RTL Germany, the total viewing minutes in 2022 were 20.319 billion, and the share of non-linear 3.4%. And in the Netherlands, just for comparison purposes, that share is 10%. In terms of 2023 outlook, you asked specifically about Fremantle, but I will kind of coin this in a broader perspective. As we said before, the market environment is volatile, so the impact is a little bit hard to predict. But the outlook still assumes revenue growth to 7.3 to 7.4 billion. When you look at all the scope changes, including Fremantle, they even out altogether. So the impact, the aggregate effect is not material. So the organic, so the growth we are expecting is fully organic, and that organic growth is driven by Fremantle, where we're seeing continued healthy demand and trends for the business. The TV business, as discussed, is expected to go down by a low single digit, but this is nearly fully compensated by the growth of our streaming business.
Thank you, Finman.
Yep, welcome.
The next question comes from Richard Eary from UBS. Your question, please.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Just following on from Julian's first question on around guidance. Can you be a bit more specific about streaming revenue expectations? And then you said healthy growth at Fremantle. Can you maybe just elaborate on that? That was the first question. The second question just comes back to streaming. Streaming subs last year were up 44%, revenues were up 20%. Can you just talk us through the mix issues that you're seeing and when you expect the RTL Plus subscription to come in and how you expect that will impact on total ARPUs and whether we see a reversal of sub growth versus revenue growth in 23 and 24. The third thing was just on the working capital. In the cash flow, there was a big working capital outflow of 503 million. I don't know whether you can shed more color on that. I think you said something earlier in the presentation, but I may have missed something. And lastly, Thomas, you talked about consolidation. I don't know whether you can elaborate on your comments on that and see where you're at on conversations with regulatory authorities to see whether there is any positive lights that could come through over the next couple of years.
Yeah, thanks for your questions. Let me start with consolidation. To be honest, there's little hope regarding the attitude of the regulators. We were the first group, you know, to test the regulatory authorities and their definition of what they call relevant market. We thought we had good arguments to convince them that a broader definition of relevant market beyond TV advertising market was justified. We continue to believe that's the case, but the authorities have taken a very, I'd say, conservative approach. So unfortunately, and I'd say in the foreseeable future, until we see even more structural change in the TV business, particularly linear TV business, and more substitution of TV advertising by other forms of advertising, the regulators are not going to move. And that's why, unfortunately, we'll not be able to make the one big step of consolidation in France and the Netherlands, but now have to go through a series of smaller steps in the areas which I described, on advertising, on technology, on streaming, on data, content, etc. I see significant potential there because, you know, all these platforms, if you like, for consolidation or for smaller consolidation steps are in place at RTL. We're probably the only European group to have such platforms. You think about advertising technology, streaming technology, or international ad sales network, Ad Connect. So we're extremely well placed. But let's not fool ourselves. Even if we're successful on all eight paths to scale and make significant progress, which we intend to do, this will not be equivalent to one big step. But as I said, you know, we've got to accept reality. It's tough, to be honest, but we accept reality, work with it, and have defined a new strategy, you know, of these series of smaller steps which we outlined, and we'll make sure that we update you on a regular basis. On where we are, on where we are heading, and what we are achieving. Björn, on the other points.
Yeah, I will happily answer the revenue assumption question for 23 and also the working capital point. So first on 23 revenue, we're expecting our streaming business to grow revenue by around 25% in 2023, and Fremantle, we're expecting organic growth within the tune of 4 to 7%, in line with kind of our previous guidance. In terms of working capital, cash conversion rate was down in 2022 compared to previous year level. That's kind of driven by an investment cycle we are going through. The drivers are well understood and primarily relate to our investments in streaming. On the one hand, higher CapEx. On the other hand, build-up of inventory for program rights, for example, for fiction and other products. The other driver is the growth of the business of the organic growth of Fremantle, in particular here the film and scripted business, where we also had a number of timing effects, but we expect this trend to reverse in 23 and expect a gradual return to higher cash conversion rates that we've seen in the past.
And briefly on the streaming business, I mean, Videoland, if you look at Videoland and the Videoland metrics, we're already in a pretty good shape, right? We have 1.2 million subscribers, all of which are owned and operated, and they come at attractive ARPUs with low churn rate and thus attractive and increasingly attractive lifetime values. When we're almost break even, if you strip out some of the costs related to the migration of the Videoland platform onto the Bedrock platform, which we operate together with MC. You look at RTL Germany, we're in a slightly different situation there. We have significant momentum in the subscriber growth, as we explained. We had 4 million subscribers at the end of last year. We see continued momentum in the first months of this year. We have a very strong distribution partnership in Germany, which we don't have in the Netherlands. So in Germany, it's with Deutsche Telekom. And approximately 50% of the RTL Plus subscribers in Germany come via Deutsche Telekom, which I think is a healthy mix. What we need to do at RTL Plus in Germany to become profitable is pretty straightforward, conceptually, much harder, of course, in practice. Need to continue the momentum on subscriber growth, increase the revenue per subscriber, and we're making significant step there in Germany with significant price increases, which we announced a few weeks ago. We're going to expand our content offer on RTL Plus, as I mentioned, from video to audio and text, which we believe will make the service even more attractive, and above all, will widen the relevant or the addressable market for our service. And we'll, you know, have to, after significant investment into our technical platform, optimize our technical costs of the platform. So we have a very detailed plan at RTL Plus, which we are in the process of fine tuning. We'll see heading past the profitability. And at least 4, 5, or 6 key KPIs and performance indicators, which we're monitoring very, very closely to get us to profitability and decent margins in the time frame which I explained.
Can I just ask just a clarity question on the working capital? How do we think about that as we go into 23? I presume we've still got an outflow because of content investments and Fremantle, you know, pushing to scripted, but what magnitude are we expecting in 23?
Yeah, as I said earlier, we're expecting a gradual improvement of the cash rate in 2023, going to, I would say, levels of at least 70 to 80% in 2023.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
But, you know, as Bjorn explained, you know, historically, RTL's cash conversion rates were approximately 100%, which is great, but not necessarily a sign of growth of a business, right? So the growth of our businesses, Fremantle and streaming, which to a very large extent are organic growth, in particular, streaming, mean that we consume a bit more working capital. I mean, it's just, if you think about CapEx for the streaming services, we are investing in CapEx to build a platform to increase and improve customer experience. So we're almost at a peak there this year, in particular for the multi-purpose app in Germany. And at the same time, we're investing in content, as we said, and therefore have slightly higher content inventory. So think about, you know, at least part of the lower cash conversion rate to be an investment in the transformation of RTL and the organic build-up of new businesses, which, if successful, will create significant value for the shareholders.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Conor O'Shea from Kepler. Your question, please.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Three questions from my side as well. First question, just on the Dutch business. I understand there was a bit of a later catch-up post-pandemic that was driving growth initially last year, but that seems to be continuing again this year. So can you just give a little bit of color why there's such a markedly improved performance there versus some of your other regions? I would have thought that was there's a much bigger non-linear market. So can you explain what's going on there? Second question on the distribution revenues. I think, according to my calculations, it was down about 7% year on year in Q4. So just wondering what's going on there and if we should factor in growth, a return to growth for 2023. And then the third question, just on the synergies, the 70 million Gruner + Jahr by 2025. Can you give us an idea that are you expecting them to be back-ended, the timing, and realistically, are those savings going to be partly or even fully offset by advertising declines in the print business in the meantime? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with Gruner. Elmar will then take the question on RTL Netherlands and Björn on distribution revenue. So the synergy target for RTL and Gruner is 75 million. Last year, we achieved 30 million. When we initially announced the deal, the synergy number was slightly higher. It's now a bit lower, and that's due to the market situation in Germany. And it's due to the fact that we are effectively divesting or discontinuing 30% of the Gruner title portfolio. So we should get to the 75 million mark by 2025, and the share of cost synergies will be significantly higher than in our initial plans, which I think is good news because we all know that cost synergies are more tangible than revenue synergies. And part of the savings which we're going to make as a result of the restructuring of the publishing business, the 70 million effectively come from kind of further integration, for example, of corporate functions, IT, data, etc., between RTL and Gruner, which we didn't progress sufficiently on until now. So there's potential for more. Björn, on distribution?
Yeah. So as you pointed out, the distribution revenue on a reported basis is kind of stable versus last year, kind of a small increase by 1 million. But keep in mind that previous year still had RTL Belgium and RTL Croatia with the distribution business included. So if you strip out the scope effect on an organic basis for the full year, distribution revenues actually grew by 4%. And that growth was driven by RTL Germany. And when you look specifically at Q4, there was indeed, again, on a reported basis, a decline, but again, fully compensated by these two scope effects, and on an organic basis in Q4 was also around stable. But again, I think the important view is on the full year basis where they continue to increase by 4%.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, we have seen a very robust and strong TV advertising market in the Netherlands throughout the course of 2022 with an estimated market growth of 8.7%, as we mentioned earlier, and RTL Netherlands even outperformed that market growth. We believe that there are two sectors that we'd like to draw your attention to. The first one being the retail sector. There has been fierce competition amongst retailers, but there has been also a significant advertising around gaming and betting opportunities that continued to be strong also in the first quarter in 2023. But we all know that these opportunities will cease to exist going forward, but probably it has helped to show a strong advertising income in the first quarter.
Yeah, so it's due to regulation on betting, which okay. Unfortunately is kicking in the Netherlands. It's probably accelerated advertising for betting yep. In the run-up to the regulatory ban. But unfortunately, this phenomenon will disappear due to regulation.
And just a reminder, the regulatory ban kicks in when?
Currently, 1st of April.
1st of April, okay.
So we hope later.
Do you have any idea what proportion of the client base it is running at the moment in the Netherlands?
I can't give you a very precise figure as we speak. I would need to come to expert. We don't have a good enough figure as we speak.
Yeah, we don't really disclose, you know, advertising by segment by customers for all sorts of reasons. So I don't think we want to disclose that number to be honest. But it's not insignificant, and it will lead to a normalization of the Dutch TV advertising market and the growth in 2023 versus 2022.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Roch. Mr. Roch, please go ahead.
Yes. Hello again. There was no more questions. I'm coming back with another three. So on streaming, thank you very much for the guidance of it's going to be up around 25% in 2023. So if I put 25% on 267, I get 335. And then because we analysts, we use a ruler to do forecasts. If I put 25% growth in 24, 25, 26, I only get 650, and your guidance is a billion. So you're expecting significant acceleration in 24, 25, 26 for streaming. So can you explain why that is my first question. And then the second question is, how much was TV advertising down in Germany in full year 22? And on what basis you're going to give me the number? Is that including RTL2 or excluding RTL2? Thank you.
Well, I mean, first, you know, the subscriber number we're aiming for, you know, the 10 million is end of 2026. So there's a ramp up until then. And then, frankly, we're forecasting a significant ARPU increase in Germany. Which will kick in the course of this year, but not have a full year effect. And that increase is related to two factors. The first is the price increase, which we're currently putting in place for our video service. The main kind of video offer we make, or the one which is most demand, is currently at $4.99. We're increasing the price to $6.99. That will kick in. This will kick in the course of the year, and the second impact in Germany will be the MPA, the multipurpose app, comprising video, audio, and text. And that, if it works, will drive ARPU very, very significantly. But as I said, you know, the MPA will be launched in the course of this year, so say around summer, after the summer break. So you'll not see the full year impact in 2023, but you will see it, if successful, in the subsequent years.
The second part of the question.
No, that I think was the question. Why we, you know, I mean, we're seeing kind of 25% growth this year, and then an acceleration to get to 1 billion in 2026. And I think the two reasons I explained in Germany, I think, are part of the explanation.
But I think, Julian, you had the second question.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What was the historical growth, or the actual growth of German TV advertising for RTL in 2022?
Oh, advertising Germany, minus 8%, 22.
And that's for you, that's for the market. That's for the market.
No, that's us, and we think that this is in line with market. We lost a bit of market share in the first half of the year. We regained that market share in the second half of the year. We outperformed our commercial rival in terms of audience, as we explained, with a 4.5 percentage point audience delta between us and ProSieben. So there was a bit of catching up in the second half of the year. and then in a very soft German TV advertising market in the first quarter, certainly in January, we gained market share. But for 2022, assume that the minus 8 is
8 to 9
is our number, and it's also the market number.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. And that includes RTA too, because you were specifically
asking. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way we always report these numbers consistently, and you can compare them on a year by year basis.
The next question comes from Stefan Simros from Simros Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking also one question from the investor side. So just a small question on one balance sheet item. The loans and bank overdrafts went up almost to the level of the cash and cash equivalents. Was this due to a pending prolongation at the reporting date? Maybe you could say a word or two to this item.
Yeah, just a second.
I mean, the net cash position at the end of the year was 180 million. We have 500 million of kind of a long-term financing in place that is due in beginning of March, and that's why there was a reclassification from kind of long-term liabilities to short-term liabilities. And I think that maybe kind of caused some confusion there on the changes. We did in the meantime, and that was kind of also a report as part of the subsequent event, we did prolong that external financing at favorable rates, 200 million for 3 years and 300 million for 5 years.
Ah, yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
The reclass, right? Short-term, long-term, long-term, short-term.
Yeah, of course. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
We have another follow-up from Mr. Uri. Mr. Uri, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Just trying to understand the streaming numbers and the content spend for 23. So if streaming revenues are going up by 25%, from 267 towards, call it 335, and you are essentially reducing your losses to less than 200. So you're making a saving of 35 million if you get it to below that. And there's content increasing in terms of spend because you're on that upward trajectory from 300 to 600. That would suggest the other OPEX in the business is coming down. Is that? Can you just explain why that is and what's happening on the other OPEX? Is this just because of marketing and tech and MarTech's startup costs that we should expect to come out, and that's what's going to be driving the operating leverage in the streaming business? So that would be helpful to just get some color.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, look at our streaming numbers. They cover all streaming businesses in all territories. So at minus 233 last year, we'll be below minus 200 this year. One factor is that we discontinued the streaming service in France, Salto, right? And therefore eliminated the startup losses in France. And at the same time, we are slightly reducing the startup losses in Germany. And that is to some extent due to technical cost, which will go down in 2023, and also marketing spend. Content spend will continue to increase as we see this as a significant and important driver for subscriber growth. Having said this, we now have much better data in Germany and also in the Netherlands on the content that actually drives inflow and drives usage, i.e. prevents churn, which means that we will, on the basis of that data, be able to make much better informed content decisions and really focus on the content genres which are particularly attractive and the metrics which are just outlined. So a combination of factors would really have to go through the P&L of the streaming businesses country by country and then strip out Salto and then look at the different cost items. to give you a better explanation, but the headlines are the ones I mentioned.
And there's no other revenues that are booked within the streaming business. It's literally the 267 of streaming revenues minus the 233 of losses, which is therefore 500 million of costs, of which you've said 304 million of that is content. So there's 200 odd million that is sitting there in other costs. Right, yes. Okay.
Yep, absolutely right. It's exactly the right way of looking at this. And then one additional element, which Björn just mentioned, is that we launched a streaming service in Hungary, right? That kicked in the fourth quarter of last year. It's relatively small, but it will grow in the course of 2023, also on the back of higher investment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our last question for today as a follow-up is from Mr. O'Shea. Mr. O'Shea, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just one follow-up question, if I could. I might have missed the comment at the start, but Thomas, when you said you're going for small steps on consolidation around the deal in France, which was blocked, of course, you also looked into an alternative straight sale, and I think there were at least three bids in there at double the share price at the time. You called that off, citing the short deadline versus the renewal of the DTT license. But can you just talk us through sort of the thinking about that, as to why, were there other factors involved as to why you decided not to follow through that process? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me take you through the sequence of events on the timeline, because it was pretty dynamic last year. So the competition authorities informed us about their decision, I believe in October. The decision, interestingly, was not to say we blocked the deal, but the decision was to say you want to combine TF1 and MCs. It's on the basis that you either sell TF1 or MCs. So that led to the obvious conclusion not to go forward with the with the deal, and we were then, as I think I put it at the time, inundated with offers or expressions of interest to acquire our shares. So it's not the case that we actively went into the market. We received a series of expressions of interest and just felt that it was our fiduciary obligation to test the appetite and of course also the attractiveness of potential offers, and then to decide whether we wanted to go through with them or not. And the problem is, and you rightly pointed to this, the deadline for the submission of the applications for the license renewal of the main channel MCs was mid of January. And based on our assessment, but also conversations I had with the heads of the media authorities and the competition authorities in France, we concluded that there was a high risk that the transaction would not go through before the 15th of January. But that was a precondition for making the application for the license renewal. And it's on that basis that we then decided hold on to MCs. To make the license renewal request. As you know, in the meantime, we've been selected as I think it's a technical expression in France, selected for the license renewal for MCs, which I think is good news. It's kind of what everybody expected, but it's good to know that we are selected, and we're now negotiating the cahier de charge, right? So the terms and conditions of the license, and the new license will then kick in May. The strings attached to the new license, as you know, is that we're not allowed to sell our shares or to give up our controlling position at MCs for a period of five years. That is just a condition related to the license and the license renewal. So that's the situation. In the meantime, as you know, there's a new, let's say, anchor investor in the capital of MCs, Monsieur Saadi, with his CMA business. We've got a great relationship, worked together constructively. CEO of his company is going to join the board of MC, so has joined the board, I should say, Emma. So we think it's great to have a new French partner in the business. We are currently conducting a strategic, IMC's management, I should say, is conducting a strategic review of the business, in particular for the streaming business. And I think, as we said before, the focus will be on AVOD, advertising funded video on demand, as opposed to subscription funded, given that MC's is not the number one in the market, but the number two, and it's a bit late in the game, given that the French broadcasters bet on Salto, which didn't work out for all sorts of reasons. So that's the context which we operate. But I can tell you we're very happy shareholders of MC's, so don't get me wrong. It's, I believe, one of the best-run TV companies in Europe. Generated record results in 2021. If you strip out the subsidies MC's received in 2021, the 22 results were broadly in line with prior year, a record level. So we're happy shareholders of the company, have a very good relationship with the management team, fully support the strategic review, and also investing in the business, particularly in streaming going forward.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. If there are no further questions, thank you very much for your interest in RTL Group and in our full year results. Have a good day, and if there are further questions, we are, of course, available to answer them.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.